Just before we begin the next sugya, just wanted to last the kudos from the previous sugya. So we were talking a lot about the prohibition of Schar Shabbos. So we pointed out there was a machlokes in the Rishonim as to whether Schar Shabbos is also under all circumstances, or whether perhaps there's a heter, of Makom Mitzvah. So we said that Makom Mitzvah is always a tricky one, because Makom Mitzvah sometimes permits certain Isurim of what would otherwise be violations of Mitzvah Chavtzicha, whereas not always. So we're kind of walking a tightrope to try to figure out which Isurim would be permitted based on Makom Mitzvah and which not. So at the end of the day, it was a Machlokes that we shown him. How do we pass in the halacha? So the Shulchan Aruch calls both opinions. In the siman about the Nachman, the siman about Tzchach Shabbos, so Shulchan Aruch makes reference to both, and he refers to the minig of the Chazanim, the Baal Tefila, or others who are doing other Tzorchei Tzibur, who get paid for Tzchach Shabbos. We said that even though that's questionable whether there's a heter outright of Makom Mitzvah, there are other heterim that are sometimes relevant. Those are the heterim of Havlah. The Gemara said explicitly that Havlah is permissible, that as long as I'm getting paid for more than just the Shabbos itself, I'm getting paid for a longer job, including Shabbos, that would be perfectly all right. There are those who say that's the source for why many of the shuls have the Baalei Tefillah for the Yom Noroi and begin with Tzlichas. It's not just to show off their nice, beautiful voice, but some say because it should be a shtickle b'Havlah. Some poskim say that other places usually just have the Baalei Tefillah, that hire Baalei Tefillah, give them X amount of money for Yom Noroim, and they want to get out of the problem of Schar Shabbos, Schar Yontif, so they would ask for Daven Mincha and Erev Rosh Hashanah. Mincha and Erev Rosh Hashanah usually doesn't go for so much money. It was kind of a far-fetched kind of a havlah. So they wanted to make it a little bit more realistic, so they gave them a hazah program to start Mimotzei Menucha. So to start the singing of the slichas a couple of days before, so that would be a little bit more realistic havlah. So you always have the shaila about havlah. Havlah is always a tricky kula. What is considered to be havlah? It's not considered to be havlah. But when you have a rav, so a rav usually is havlah. A rav is mutter to get paid for two reasons. First of all, according to those who show him, say it's Makom Mitzvah, even though he's working a lot on Shabbos and Yom Tov. But number two, that's clearly havlah. Because I hope the things that he does during the week as well. Even a Shabbos rabbi, there are always things that end up happening during the week. So some of that's considered to be a little bit of havlah. Poskim discuss about what if I'm not really doing anything, I'm just doing my hachanas before, and I'm not really on call to do any work for you, but the job that I'm getting hired to do entails preparation. This is a part of the Shabbos Bakari. So can the Bakari get paid? So according to those who say that Makom Mitzvah trumps everything in this area, then it's mutter. But according to those who are machmir, so some want to argue that the Bakari is getting paid for the preparation as well. Problem is, what if he knows it already? His mamitzvah has been laying it for the last 20 years, so he doesn't have to prepare this parsha. So is that considered to be Vavlan? We had a shaila a couple of years ago, when I was going away in the summer. So one summer we had one of my tamidim who was covering as a rav. So he used to pay him, went a little bit free, came 3-4 to Shabbos during the course of the year, but during the week he really didn't have, he lived in the Heights, he had no real shachas in the community. So he was getting paid per Shabbos. So there was one Shabbos that he was all ready to come, and Friday afternoon there was a blackout in the shul. Not in the shul, the whole neighborhood, the lights were out, and there was a whole balagan, where he was going to stay, and he had little kids, and who knows what was going to happen, who knows what we're going to have a minion. And in the end, they told him, it's Kedai, don't bother coming. They called him 3-4 o'clock the afternoon on Friday. He said, it's not Kedai, such a chaos over Shabbos, don't bother coming for Shabbos. So now the Shabbos, he had done all the preparation, he prepared all the drushes already. He was prepared all the shiur already. Now the question is, should you pay him? I don't know what happened there. Should you pay him? Are you mechir? Can you pay him for Shabbos? So on the one hand, he didn't do the job yet. Oinus is already above Metzias Chiris Polim Shad. Oinus had happened. On the other hand, this throws into question the validity of the Havlah Kulim. For the last 3 weeks, we've been relying on the fact of Havlah. Now it's a joke, Haraya. He did the work that he's quote-unquote getting paid for. He just didn't deliver the shiurim. But you just told me last week you're paying him not for the shiurim, you're paying him for the work. So, I don't know. I'm not sure how they resolved it. It was Bishal but Bishal, but I'm not sure what the final resolution was.
So the bottom line, What's the reason why the Schar Shabbos is not an issue by the website and the vending machine?
Oh, that's very good. So that's a different thing. So the website that went in the vending machine, that was an issue of Mekech HaMemkeh and Shabbos. Not that the fish is asking, but forget about Mekech HaMemkeh. So it happened by itself. Let it be also about Schar Shabbos. So most poskim hold that Schar Shabbos applies for work. It applies for when you're giving me something in, not as a, it's a tricky one. It's not payment for the object that I'm transferring to you. it's some kind of a harvacha, some kind of a benefit that I'm getting. Either literally I'm working and I'm getting paid for the services, or my money's sitting in the bank. Moshe said, maybe that's all considered to be Yitzchak Shabbos. But when I'm giving you a zetach hazeh, I'm not being marviach on Shabbos from the vending machine. I'm selling you a sandwich for the going rate of the sandwich. It's a dollar. That's not called a schar Shabbos. That's called selling the sandwich. Yitzchak Shabbos is when I'm making money on something that I didn't really give you in return. That's considered to be a Yitzchak Shabbos. It's a tricky hagdar, but that's what most of the poskim say.
So if my store is open, somebody else is in the store, then maybe also for other reasons. But it's
right. It's probably not Yitzchak Shabbos. Right. It's probably not Yitzchak Shabbos. When I'm selling you something on Shabbos,
it's
probably
not something that occurs. It's something that you do.
It's something that I do, right? But it's tricky because the case of the interest, the money is, my money is accruing interest, but here also, it's not like I'm giving you something and you give me something in return. It's a different, you're not giving me the price of the object, you're giving me schar. Schar means that it's above and beyond what the tangible price is, so to speak. That's considered to be schar Shabbos.
Although with the interest, they're paying you the market rate, presumably, of interest.
Right, that's what,
so
that,
it's like, see, 'cause it's like the sandwich.
Potentially. Yeah, so that's where it gets a little bit tricky. That dog gets a little bit tricky, right? So we'll be mouthed the sandwich, asked to read this, and let the rabbis continue to do their work on Shabbos. That's pretty much where the story ends in terms of Yitzchak Shabbos. There's one last shayla related, just in general, to Mechel Memkel before we come back to this. I wasn't planning on talking about it because I didn't get the shayla till last Thursday. Now it came up, so we'll talk. I spoke about it in the shul, actually. I don't know if you were there Friday, you were there Friday night. It was the shayla of the week in the shul this past Friday night. As part of the Shabbos project, so I got a call from an NCSY group that they were going to have hundreds of teenagers coming on the course of Shabbos for some major participation in the Shabbos project this past weekend, and they wanted to give out T-shirts that said on them, the Shabbos project. The Shabbos is happy to do that. So you're not supposed to give matonah on Shabbos, unless, as we said before, unless it's Lutzach HaShabbos. Now, the question is this Lutzach HaShabbos? I don't know whether we should be encouraging the kids to be wearing the Shabbos project T-shirts, not really the most Shabbos, think of the Lavush. So a little bit of a pickle. So when they pass at NCSY about wearing T-shirts on Shabbos, I can't tell you. So the bottom line is they want to know, can we give these T-shirts? Is that a violation of Matanah B'Shabbos? So I said, well, let's go down the regular route, like we always do with the Bar Mitzvah gifts and everything else we give. Let's be mezakeh it to the recipients before Shabbos. That's an easy solution. That's easy when you have one Mishnah Berurah to give to one Bar Mitzvah boy. Here you have 500 T-shirts to give to 500 kids. You have no idea who's going to pick up which T-shirt. So how in the world are you going to be mezakeh? So I said, let's pick up the entire box of T-shirts and hand it to one person and say, you should be zoicheh on each T-shirt for the person, if and when tomorrow this Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda come and collect the T-shirts, Igloy Milsel Mafredo, turn it retroactively that this T-shirt was for him, these T-shirts for him was, etc. The problem is this smacks of, it's called an halacha breira. Breira means I set up a system now, I set up I do a maisa now for a chalos to happen at a later point, for it to happen retroactively, but it's not clear now what the chalos is even going to be. There is a concept of doing something now, and then we'll find out later, and then it'll take effect retroactively. Let's say, Marshall, the famous case, I give you a gift, and I say, I'm giving you the gift now, and the gift should take effect in 24 hours from now. Like we spoke about the pigeon of bed. So after 24 hours comes, Igloy Milsel Mafreya, retroactively the gift took place. So that's okay. That's for sure works, because there, all the pieces of information are here already. Everything is mavura. Everything is clear. We know exactly now what's going to happen in 24 hours. It just hasn't happened yet. Breira means when I try to set up something retroactive, but it's not even clear now what's happening, to who it's happening. That's what's called, in English, I think Rabbi Willard coined the phrase, retroactive designation. It means it hasn't even been designated yet. We don't even know what's going to happen. To be designated later, what happened retroactively. So the famous Marshall, one of the many, many famous Mishalim of Breira, is the Mishnah beginning of the third path of Gittin. If a person's married, he has two wives, and lo and behold, the same name. He likes that particular name. He marries two women with the same name. He obviously has the same name, so he has one name. And they have the same name. He decides to write a get. He's going to divorce one of them, but he's not yet sure which one he wants to divorce. So he authorizes the sefer to write a get. And the din is, when you write a get, so the get has to be written l'shma. It has to be written for this specific woman. And then once it was at a get, so the Chassidus sofer, so he was writing, and he kept on telling the, that Lishmai, Lishmu, Lishem Gairishin. Lishmai, Lishmu, Lishem Gairishin. You have to write it for the name of the man, for the sake of the man, for the sake of the woman, for the purpose. It shouldn't just not be a letter. It should be the purpose of Gairishin. Maybe 20 times. Lishmai, Lishmu, told the Adem, Sat, Lishmai, Lishmu, Lishem Gairishin. So there was one of the Chevra who came to watch the get also. he couldn't hold himself back. So he turns around and he says, L'shai matas mitzah, oh, so sorry. He said it's just that the tune just sounded almost identical. All right, so getting back to the story. So you have to write a get, L'shmei l'shmei l'shem gersh, it's got to be for that particular woman. If you write it for the wrong woman, even though she's also your wife, that's no good. So the guy comes to the servant and says, listen, I haven't yet decided which one I'm going to divorce. One of them's going to be divorced. I'm not sure which one. You write the get now for Reuven ben Yaakov, and both my wives are Rachel bas Avram. So write together, Reuven ben Yaakov, Rachel bas Avram, to be determined tomorrow, when I wake up tomorrow, see which one I want to divorce. So the Mishnah says, that's no good. That's no good. Why is that no good? Because Ein Breira, because you can't do that. You can't retroactively designate something. It wasn't even clear. B'shas Ksiva said, yeah, what's going to happen? So that's no good. Also, the Mishnah has another famous example of a person who wants to be Mafresh Tumas and Maiseris, but he doesn't really want to do it now. He wants that it should be Chal tomorrow, it should be Chal retroactively, but he doesn't even decide yet which part he's going to be Mafresh. So he says, tomorrow I'm going to decide whether I'm going to take the northern corner of the fruit or the southern corner of the fruit, or whether to be determined tomorrow that it should be chal retroactively from now. So the Mishnah says, that's also smacks of a problem of Breira. That's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says in Maseches Demai about a famous case, a guy who was Lokech Yayim in a Kusim. He buys wine, about a barrel of wine from Kusim, from people who weren't really trustworthy in the olden days of Kusim, the Samaritans of today. They weren't trustworthy in terms of Trumas and Maaseiros. So he wants to separate Trumas and Maaseiros, but the problem is he can't because it's Shabbos, or it's right before Shabbos at the time, but he wants to drink the wine. So he wants to set up a kunz that he'll decide after Shabbos which part of the wine should end up being Trumas and Maaseiros to permit him retroactively to drink the wine now. So that's also another... Also, another example of the sugya of Yesh Breira Ein Breira. So I got very excited about it this summer because I don't know. Were you on the trip to the Shomron?
Sure.
So if you remember when we drove through to Har Grizim, so we saw all the kusim. So they
pointed
it
out.
So I pointed out the trip. Yeah. So I said there was a big sign that said there was like a wine store or something. Machrim Kanyayin. So I got so excited. I said, this is it. Lokech Yayin Ben Akusim. I was ready to give a shiur about Breira. The kids, most of the high school kind of know what I was talking about. But that was like it came in life. It was really very exciting. But at least I didn't see the person trying to divorce two wives at the same time. So this case of giving the t-shirts, I'm going to give the t-shirts, the 500 t-shirts to Reuven. He's going to pick it up on behalf of all the kids to be determined tomorrow which kid is going to get his t-shirt. That's Max Breira. So does that work or not? So the Gemara Maseches Beitz Daf Lamed Ches Pasiens B'Deraisa Ein Breira. When it comes to Dinam Deraisa, we can't rely on Breira. So the get would be no good. Maybe the Trumas and Maaseiros would be a Deraisa would be no good. But B'Derabanan Yesh Breira. B'Derabanan Chazal Mekel. We have a right to rely on the principle that Kenza. Maybe there is not a principle of Breira. So this Isser over here, is this an Isser Deraisa? Is this an Isser Derabanan? What is this Isser giving you a Matana on Shabbos? Hard to call it an Isser Deraisa. As we already learned, it's also for one of two reasons. One is Gezer Shem Yichtob. That's pretty Derabanan to me. The other one is Mtzoch Heftzecha. So then I started to get a little nervous. Wait a second. Mtzoch Heftzecha. What's the nature of that Isser Mtzoch Heftzecha? Is that treated like a Deraisa? Is that treated like a Derabanan? What's the Shaila? Because it appears in Navi. There's a general question. Any din that appears in Avim Uksuvim in Kisvei HaKodesh, not a Chumash, does that take on all the Chumras of Deraisas or not? Moshe Kriyas HaMegillah, things of that nature. Maybe Anik Shabbos, things that appear in the Nevi Muksuvim. So should we say, but they weren't given to my Shabbos, so they're only Dirabon and finished. Doesn't matter where they appear in Nach. Do I say no? To the Tzar Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu signing on to them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, Ki Pi Hashem Diber. That's what it says. Ki Pi Hashem Diber. The Rebbe Shalom said it. So the Rebbe Shalom said it, whether he said it as part of the Chamisha Chamshei Torah, whether he's giving a stamp of approval with Bederech Hanefuah, whatever you want to call it, if it appears in the Holy Books, appears in the Kisvei Kodesh, it takes on almost like a Chumash of Deraisa. So that's a big, big machlokes. I mean, remember back to the Purim Shailas, is Suffolk Kriyas HaMegillah Lekula, Suffolk Kriyas HaMegillah Lechumra, Me'el Chagis HaRishonim. So I think to myself, oh my goodness, here my whole Kula is based on Yesh Breir by the Rabbanans. So maybe according to one day in Rashi, we're dealing with a Quasi Deraisa, Mtzach Heftzecha. So I thought to myself, no. He said, if you remember back to last week, that we said, Yerach HaShulchan pointed out, that even the real Isser Mtzoch Heftzecha, even if it applies, even if the real such a thing, it's only by Mechiras, it's not by Matanas. Why? Because we find that certain kulas by Matana, you're allowed to give a Matana B'mocha mitzvah and Shabbos. Everybody agreed to that. That was the case of giving the Levin Esra, the Tefillas Caleb. We saw a few examples last week. You're allowed to give him a ton of B'mocha mitzvah. A mechira? I'm allowed to sell you svarim. I keep my svarim store open. I can sell you svarim on Shabbos. Obviously not. What's the difference? So the Chashulchan explained that mechira is really also mitzvah chavtzicha. So therefore, it's also even b'mocha mitzvah. Matonas is almost like a gzeirul mitzvah chavtzicha. It's almost like a ke'en, like it's like a mars ayin shtichel of mitzvah chavtzicha. People are going to get confused if you start to give matonas. Next thing you know, you're going to start to sell. It's not real mitzvah chavtzicha. And that's why it's about the b'mocha mitzvah. It's a much lower level. So even in your wildest dreams, if you can tell me that mechira smacks a shtichel of a derais on Shabbos, so at least it's a different Kabbalah, a different Torah dummy. I would say that's to keep your store open. That's the sell. But to give a T-shirt to an NCSY or a Shabbos project, that's a deraisa to a chevtzicha. Come on, that's, even I couldn't make a case for that. That's a little bit too stretched. So since I'm pretty convinced that it's the Rabbanon, no matter which direction you go in, but the Rabbanon, yeish breira. So therefore, I thought it was Mutas. That was the Psach. So the NCSY Psach this past weekend was based on a combination of that Orcha Shulchan with the Rashis, with the Rabbanon Yesh Breira. I think that was enough of a justification just to give out the T-shirts and shine.
If the Mechira might be at least a little bit of a Daraisa, shouldn't the vending machine now take on a little bit more severity?
Yeah. It's severity, but again, according to the Mechila, I thought it was really Mutter. That was the Svar we had from last week from the Marashak. It can't be Mohammed and Malacha. If a Malacha itself, you're allowed to set the trap before Shabbos to trap the animal, so you're allowed to do that. So then Mustami should be able to do this as well. So Lamai said this sugya had a lot of interesting ramifications, La Halacha. That was the last of the Kosev sugyas. Then we begin a